We can speak in such spiritual terms about the fact that I've been called to set my mind on things above, to focus on godly things, to focus on the things of God, that I simply ignore my responsibilities at home. Paul says, I'll have none of that. If you really love God, if your mind is really set on heaven, if your affections are really on eternal things, you will be godly in these earthly things.
If you're looking for Paul's treatment of the family, Ephesians is a marvelous place to start. However, if you're looking at the family in relationship to the gospel and the love of Jesus, then what he writes for us here in Colossians chapter 3 is where we need to camp. And that is precisely what we're doing here on Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. We're in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, in our little mini-series we've entitled Gospel-Centered Relationships. We invite you to spend time with us today as we continue our look at Paul's admonition to us in marriage. Here's Pastor Steve.
This is my husband. This is my wife. We belong to each other. We've entered in together into this unique covenant relationship before God. And in that covenant, God has given us specific parameters of how we are to function. And so this very phrase, it implies exclusivity, and it always also suggests intimacy. This is a woman entering into a relationship where she is willingly making herself subject to the one that she now possesses as her own husband. One commentator, Peter O'Brien, he says this. He says, the idea of subordination to authority in general, as well as in the family, is out of favor in a world which prizes permissiveness and freedom. Christians are often affected by these attitudes. Subordination smacks of exploitation and oppression that are deeply resented. But authority is not synonymous with tyranny, and the submission to which the apostle refers does not imply inferiority. Wives and husbands, as well as children and parents, servants and masters, have different God-appointed roles, but all have equal identity because they have been made in the divine image and in Christ to put on the new person who is created to be like God. He reiterates the point we made a moment ago, that the verb submit, be subordinate, can be used of Christ's submission to the authority of the Father. It shows that it can denote a functional subordination without implying inferiority or less honor or less glory. So the first truth is this: the submission is the demonstration, a way the wife demonstrates the reality of the gospel in her life. Secondly, submission is about order in the home, not inferiority. And then the third truth, submission is a biblical mandate, not a culturally irrelevant regulation. To deal again first with the misconception, and this is quite common, is that what Paul's doing here is just acquiescing to his own culture. He's in the midst of a culture that has a low view of women, and rather than deal with that, he says, listen, This is how you live out the reality of the culture we're in. We live in a culture that despises women, so this is what it looks like in the church to despise women. And that because this is just a cultural idea, it has no bearing on our lives some 2,000 years later. Well, it's certainly true that they lived in a culture that had a low view of women. Let me just give you some examples. Because I want you to see, I don't think Paul here is acquiescing to his culture at all. I think Paul, even in his own day, is giving a counter-cultural mandate to the women of the Church of Colossae. No one reading this passage in the 20th century can fully realize how great it is. Throughout the years, the Christian view of marriage has come to be accepted, even if practice has fallen very short of the ideal. We're moving away from that, though. There was a time, this commentator wrote 50 years ago, that the world just accepted this idea of marriage, but we've moved away from that in our culture. That marriage is between one man and one woman for life, even if the ideal is not measured up. Paul's writing in a culture where women were seen as less than people. The Jews in this time had a very low view of women. In the Jewish form of morning prayer, there was a sentence in which a Jewish man every morning gave thanks to God that he did not make him a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. The thing which vitiated all Jewish law regarding women was that in Jewish law, a woman was not a person, but a thing. She had no legal rights whatsoever. She was absolutely in her husband's possession to do with as he willed. In theory, the Jew had the highest ideal of marriage. That was the secular culture of Paul's day. He is speaking to a culture that demeaned and devalued women, a patriarchal culture that where abuse was acceptable. Women were property. The wife was not a whole person. So is Paul just acquiescing to his culture? And so we don't have to bother with a command like this today? I don't think so. Let me show you why. First is the command itself to submit. This is a word which speaks to place yourself under. That's the idea of submission. It is to put yourself under the priorities of another, the rule of another. It is to say that the priorities of someone else are a higher priority than my own. It is to put yourself in a position to honor someone else and to affirm somebody else's authority, to affirm somebody else's desire, to affirm somebody else's leadership. And biblical submission is seen for all of us in various relationships. Here, the wife to her husband, the children to their parents, believers to elders in the church, citizens to the state, servants to their masters or employers, each believer to every other believer in humble service within the church. But it is a command, wives, put yourselves under, that is, place yourselves under, submit to, subordinate yourself to your own husbands. But this is what's fascinating. Look down with me at children, verse 20. It says, children, obey. Verse 22, slaves, obey. Now, you could say, well, Paul's just a coward, so he chose a word that was a little softer. Or you could say that he's purposefully saying something different about the relationship between wives and husbands than children and parents or employees to employers. And the phrase he uses, the word's not just different, but the form of the word is different. Those commands to children and to slaves are direct, active commands. Just do this. The voice that he places the command to the wives is in, it's called the middle voice, and it implies a voluntary placing yourself under. See, this isn't about you're inferior, so it's obvious. That was the culture's standpoint. Paul says, no, our culture is wrong. To see women as less than men is wrong. In Christ, we are all the same. There is no male or female. There is no one that is of less value. We're all created in the image of God. In Christ, this new woman, having been embraced the gospel and affected by the gospel, voluntarily places herself under the rule of another for the sake of serving as a metaphor for the gospel, places the wishes and the leadership and the desires of another person above her own. I would submit that the longer you look at the culture that Paul wrote to and the heart of the command here and in Ephesians as well, where he does exactly the same thing, that Paul's heart is not, women, you're less, so submit, but women, make this voluntary choice. If you enter into this covenant relationship, to place yourself under the rule of another. Again, it points to the gospel. A desire to honor and affirm her husband, to live under the authority of her husband, to yield to his leadership. We'll speak to some of the abuses of that in a moment. But the desire to support her husband in a way that she serves as his helper and he can become everything that God has called him to be in Christ. He can reach his potential as a man of God. You can go through list after list in Scripture of what this might look like, what this means in the home to make it a place that is safe, that is free from the sinful influence of the world, striving to be a woman who's dependable and trustworthy, providing affirmation, encouragement, confrontation, creating a home where their children are being taught up and raised in the ways of the Lord, desiring to see this man become all that God has called him to be. Now, just let me make this note to those in the room that made me married to non-believers, because you'd say, well, how can I make a non-believer everything that he's intended to be in the Lord or that God would desire? Now, the ways that it manifests itself in that kind of relationship are very different, but I don't think the goal is any different. In a Christian marriage, married to a Christian man, wives, your desire is to see this man be everything that God has called him to be in Christ. If you're married to a non-Christian man, you know what your desire is? For him to be everything that God would call him to be in Christ. But you know where that has to start? With him coming to know Christ as his Savior. And so that's your goal in submission. Your goal in submission, and Peter is explicit about this in 1 Peter, is to live in such a way that the gospel is manifest in your relationship that you may what? You may win him. And so certainly it manifests itself differently, but the goal is still the same. Submission is a wife's demonstration that her life has been impacted by the gospel. Secondly, submission is about order in the home and not a statement about male-female relationships. Thirdly, submission is a biblical mandate, not a culturally irrelevant regulation. And then fourthly, submission is ultimately about submission to the Lord, not to another person. Dealing first with the abuse of this, over the centuries, as we are prone to do, we want to make everything about us, and men have made this text about men. And so all the different ways that it's been abused to say that submission is really about the man, it's not about God, that the woman is obligated to follow the man no matter what. But the biblical principle that we owe obedience to God first and foremost applies to Christian wives as well. If there's a choice to be made between obedience to God and obedience to a person, we always choose God. The same would apply in a marriage. If there's a choice to be made between a statement that God has made, a direct command of God, and the wish or desire of your husband, then you choose God always. Men have made submission to be a statement about personality. The submission means the wife must suppress her creative energy or adopt a passive approach to life in general. Just live in some corner somewhere. But any serious reading of Scripture, just Proverbs 31 alone, would dispel such a myth. See a woman so full of initiative and so full of creativity, tirelessly committed to industry, to work, to bettering herself, to bettering her family, to serving God. There is no biblically prescribed personality for a wife, any more than there is for our husbands. To say this in more modern language, husbands who exercise godly leadership can be introverts, and wives who exercise godly submission can be extroverts. Some have suggested, and another abuse of this, is that submission is about silence. The woman is not allowed to criticize. The woman is not allowed to make requests. The woman is not allowed to teach. But this isn't biblical. Husbands are in need of constructive criticism that lovingly points them to Christ. Amen, men? We are in need of direction from our wives that reminds us that we can be more in Christ than maybe we currently are. We need teaching from our wives. God has prescribed some very specific instruction in Timothy about the way the church is to be ordered in regard to teaching, but this does not mean that men don't learn from women. There's not a person on the planet I have learned more from than my own wife. And we are responsible. This is not about silence. What is it about? Paul tells us here, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Paul says it's ultimately about the Lord. Submitting as a wife to your husband is being submissive to the Lord. This is the motivation for submission, to submit to the Lord. And the way I submit to the Lord is by submitting to my husband. Fitting is the idea of appropriate, proper, or right. And what determines what's appropriate, proper, or right in this context? The Lord does. It's in the Lord. That's how submission is determined to be proper and right. So this makes the wife's submission about Christ and not about her husband. Ultimately, it's about Christ. It's about the Lord. It's about the gospel. And submission is to point to that. Submission is ultimately to that standard, not to a man. I think it's another pointer to the fact that Paul is not calling women to embrace the culture around them, but to embrace a whole new way of thinking in the Lord. You are in the Lord now. The gospel has redeemed you now. This is who you are. You're a new woman, a new creation. Now, how does that play out in the home? You're going to submit to your husband. You're going to put his needs first, his desires first, his leadership at the forefront. You're going to serve him. You're going to love him. You're going to sacrifice for him. Why? Because it points to the Lord. It points to the greatness of God. It serves as a metaphor for the gospel that other people might see and understand what submission to the Lord looks like. And I think particularly the children might see it. So when you step back and look at the big picture, you see the sequence that Paul gives here in the argument of Colossians, suggesting that this new life, putting this new life in practice, begins at home. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If the peace of Christ is going to rule and the word of Christ is going to dwell in us richly, and if the name of Christ is going to be the foundation for everything we do, is there anything that would put those virtues of compassion and humility and patience and forgiveness and forbearance more to the test than the home? Right, it's one thing to show up on Sunday morning and have, you know, a handful of hours together and be patient with one another. We can all just muster up the energy and do that. Paul says, that's not enough. I'm not talking about a statement of faith, and I'm not just talking about living out the Christian life with people you see once in a while. I'm talking about the home. I'm talking about your husband. I'm talking about your wife. I'm talking about your children. I'm talking about your boss. That this gospel will be so real that it impacts every relationship we have. That's why when he gives the elder qualifications in Timothy, he starts with the home. Listen, men, you cannot serve in the church if your home is not in order. And so that's where he starts in Colossians, is the home. The other implication of his argument here is an important one, I think, and that is this, that setting your mind and your affections on heaven, that being a new person in Christ does not negate earthly responsibilities. Do you hear that? There's a lot of implications to think through about this statement. He's told us to set our mind on heaven, to set our affections on heaven, to think about heaven and not on earth. But thinking about heaven does not negate responsibility on earth, and he starts with the home. There was a TV series years ago, West Wing, if anybody's seen it. There's a scene in there where the chief of staff, it's pretty early on in the story, the chief of staff comes home on his anniversary, having forgotten his anniversary. And he apologizes to his wife for forgetting, but his wife is ready to leave him. And in the course of that conversation about whether or not she's going to leave him and why he wants her to stay, he's talking about the importance of what he's doing. That what he's doing in serving the president for this period of time is so important. And she says, it's not more important than your marriage. And he says, yes, it is. For these 4 years, it's more important. And he lost his marriage. I think we can do that in our marriages in regard to Christ. We can speak in such spiritual terms about the fact that I've been called to set my mind on things above, to focus on godly things, to focus on the things of God, that I simply ignore my responsibilities at home. Paul says, I'll have none of that. If you really love God, if your mind is really set on heaven, if your affections are really on eternal things, you will be godly in these earthly things. And he starts with the home. And so he says, wives, submit to your husbands as a demonstration of the fact that your life has been grabbed so firmly by the truth of the gospel. Submit to your husbands as a demonstration that you trust the order that God has established. One of the great ironies of all the abuse that's been given to this text and how backward this seems to the world They speak of it as tyranny, and they speak of it as abuse. Look at the marriages in this world. Look at the alternative. Is that freedom? Is that effectiveness? Effectiveness is when we go after God's ideals in God's way. He says submission is a mandate. This is a command. It's not about culture. It's not about what city you live in, what time you live in. It's a command given by God, grounded in creation. And ultimately, it's about submission to the Lord. And now you say, how in the world can I do that? How can I live like that? And the answer is the gospel. Because of what Christ has done for us and because of who Christ is, as Paul has laid out, I can walk in trusting obedience to God no matter what is reciprocated. I can walk in obedience no matter what comes my way. I can submit even if I'm not loved. You know why? Because in Christ, I have everything I need. So his lack of love for me doesn't make me deficient because God loves me. And Christ has given me everything. And so the gospel enables me to live this kind of a life because the gospel gives me everything I need because the gospel gives me Christ. So Paul says, wives, this is where he starts. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And live out this gospel at home. And he promises that this pattern and commitment to this truth will result in the best possible outcome on earth, to submit to the way God has designed our marriages to look. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, would intercede where there's been any lack of clarity this morning in my words. I know, Father, that there is a wide range of quality and godliness to the husbands that are represented in this room, to the wives in this room. And that, Father, for some, they may think, I'm happy to submit to this man. And there's others that just can't imagine what it would look like. Father, I pray that they would see this not as submission to some human being, but ultimately as submission to God. To live out the metaphor of the gospel before their children and before the world. Father, grant these women grace and courage and wisdom as they seek to ask, how do they apply this week? What does this look like? And Father, may this gospel that we say we believe, this gospel that we say we have embraced and has grabbed hold of our hearts, Father, may it take hold in our homes for the sake of our children, for a testimony to the world, but Father, ultimately, for the sake of your glory. May we experience the freedom that there is in obeying your commands and applying them to our hearts and our lives. That you might be glorified, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that gospel that we've sung about and celebrated this morning, the gospel that makes all these things possible. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
And you're listening to Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne from San Gabriel Community Church. If you have questions or comments about the broadcast, maybe you have a prayer request, please reach out to us. We'd love to help out any way that we can. You can reach out to us at 626-656-1000. That's our phone number. Again, 626-656-1000. Or stop by our website and drop us an email, sangabrielcommunity.org. If you're looking to join us for worship here on Sundays, we meet at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:45, and directions and information, again, can be found at sangabrielcommunity.org or by simply calling 626-656-1000. By the way, as you stop by our website, you'll find an archive of past sermons available to listen to, information about us, who we are, what we believe, and why. Pastor Steve's blog is available from our website as well, and information about San Gabriel Christian School. Please stop by sangabrielcommunity.org or call 626-656-1000. Please remember, as you contact us, this is a listener-supported ministry. As you link arms with us prayerfully and financially, we are able to continue the ministry here in the greater Los Angeles area. Please consider that as you contact us, won't you? And by the way, if you plan on joining us for worship here at the church, would you let one of the ushers know that you were invited by the radio broadcast? That would mean a great deal to us. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. We look forward to seeing you next week at this same time for another broadcast of Growing in Grace with Pastor Steve Ballantyne. Growing in Grace is the ministry of San Gabriel Community Church.